Good morning. The opening meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, January 14th, 2021 will come to order. At the start of this meeting, I would like to give a few welcoming remarks, and I will then invite any commissioner that would like to do so afterwards to please let me know. I'm happy to do so. So bear with me. Welcome to the Federal Election Commission's first open meeting of 2021. Today marks our first public meeting since June of last year, and the first with six commissioners since February 2017, almost 4 years ago. I'd like to welcome my fellow commissioners and to thank 2020 Chair Traynor for taking over the helm of the commission on a short notice in June and seeing us through the end of a tumultuous year, a period when we not only lacked a quorum, but were confronted with significant challenges associated with the pandemic. I look forward to working with Vice Chair Dickerson and Commissioner Cooksey, both of whom I had the pleasure of getting to know during the nomination process last year. I have enjoyed working closely with Commissioner Weintraub over the years as a staff member, and I look forward to doing so as a commissioner in 2021. And once again, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to Commissioner Walther for offering me the opportunity to work for him over the past several years, two of those years during which he served as vice chair, and one of those years of which he was chair. Hopefully I've learned a thing or two from him about being an effective commissioner and chair, and equally important, about being a kind and considerate person. And of course, I want to praise our dedicated and hardworking staff for their exemplary work during these difficult times. I think it would be fair to say they were dealt a triple blow this last year. First, like most federal workers, our employees had to figure out how to perform their jobs and keep this agency running smoothly without access to their offices, while simultaneously caring for their loved ones and dealing with the general upheaval created by COVID-19 crisis. At the same time, given that so many Americans have endured such severe economic hardship as a result of the pandemic, I'm sure I speak for many of our colleagues when I say that we're fortunate we were able to still have jobs. Second, as you might expect, our workload at the FEC tends to increase during presidential election years, but 2020 stands out by far in terms of the demands that were placed on our dedicated staff. The sheer volume of campaign finance activity in 2020 shattered many records. The 2020 election was roughly twice as expensive as the 2016 election in terms of presidential and congressional spending. As you can imagine, this translated into substantially more work for our staff, who did a fantastic job getting accurate and timely information out to the public regarding amounts and resources raised and spent during the election. Finally, the absence of a quorum for approximately 15 out of the last 16 months proved to be a unique and daunting challenge for our agency. And although the commission was prevented from performing basic policymaking and enforcement functions, our employees continue to fulfill our crucial mission of providing transparency and fairly enforcing and administering federal campaign finance laws. As disclosure filings increased, our staff rose to the occasion by reviewing, processing, and making public millions of pages of disclosure information and hundreds of millions of transactions. And they continue to diligently litigate ongoing court cases, examine and process new enforcement complaints and responses, and analyze and investigate enforcement matters to the maximum extent possible. I don't wish to dwell on statistics today, but I think it's important for the public to grasp the magnitude of data that we handle and the ever-increasing volume of information that our employees process in an efficient and timely manner. For example, in comparison to the last presidential cycle, we processed 5 times more financial transactions and our staff reviewed 4 times the number of pages of disclosure reports. And for those of you that are interested in detailed figures, please see the written version of my statement, which is available on the FEC's website. Of course, without the minimum number of commissioners, it was simply not possible to make progress in certain areas. My colleague, Commissioner Weintraub, performed a great service by periodically disseminating sobering figures on the backlog. For example, she noted that around the time we regained a quorum last month, there were 446 enforcement matters pending before this agency. This figure counts all matters before the commission and everything being handled in our general counsel's office, including 275 staff reports that sat atop our desk awaiting commission decision. We now must collectively roll up our sleeves to tackle these matters, both complex and simple. As chair, my main priority will be to focus our attention on the numerous enforcement cases that are imperiled by impending statute of limitations. I am hopeful that we can make progress in other areas as well, such as promulgating rules that curb the activities of scam PACs, which are committees that employ misleading tactics to divert funds that contributors believe they were donating in support of their favorite candidates and causes. I also hope we can achieve a consensus on new rules for internet advertising disclaimers. The need for having these rules in place increases in tandem with the growing use of social media as a campaign tool. The lack of a quorum has left the commission unable to send legislative recommendations to Congress since 2018. I hope that we can achieve consensus this year, as we have been able to do so in the past, and agree on sensible measures for Congress to consider. For example, we should revisit proposals to extend the prohibition on conversion of campaign funds to personal use and to prohibit aiding or abetting the making of contributions in the name of another. In addition, we can do more to take advantage of social media by making educational tools readily available to the public. We have made great improvements to our website over the past few years and will continue to do so this year. I am keenly aware that the public often uses this as a primary tool for engagement. Finally, I want to take a moment to reflect on recent events related to our elections, which have been both encouraging and disheartening. Almost 160 million Americans voted in the November general election, the most in history by far, and American citizens showed their determination and resolve by casting their votes in the midst of a global pandemic, while encountering structural and legal barriers to voting. However, we have sadly witnessed the fragility of our democracy in our Capitol last week. As my fellow commissioner and I affirmed to the FEC staff last week, the work that all of you do furthers the FEC's important role in promoting participation in our democracy and protecting the integrity of our elections. Despite our differences, the commissioners and the FEC staff are committed to joining efforts toward that goal. I'm enthusiastically looking forward to working with everyone as we forge ahead in 2021. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair Dickerson.
I'd like to take you up on your kind offer to say a few words as well. I'd like to echo the kind welcome that you gave us all, Madam Chair. And I think you very properly set out the challenges that face us as an agency and as a nation. But I think it's only fair to acknowledge is my personal gratitude for your leadership as chair as we tackle those challenges. And also my hope that as we move forward, the warm welcome and professionalism that us newcomers have received from the staff will continue apace. And I just want to add my personal thoughts that I think it's very disappointing that we're not able to do this in person, both for reasons of health and security, and that it's very much my hope that we will be able to once again gather in person with all of the fellowship and collegiality that implies soon. So thank you again.
Thank you, Vice Chair Dickerson. Are there any other commissioners that would care to speak at this time? Seeing no hands raised, we'll move further along with our agenda. We have some late submitted documents this morning. Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider the late submission of agenda document number 21-02-A.
Thank you. The Vice Chair is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
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 We have 6-0. The motion is passed. Thank you, Vice Chair Dickerson. The next item on the agenda is advisory opinion request 2020-02 submitted by Jean-Marc Bertrand. We're joined today by Mr. Bertrand. So thank you very much, sir, who's available to respond to any questions that the commissioners may have. You're very welcome. We're excited for you to be here in this format, being that we're virtual. Any other time we would see you right here, I'll be on the telephone and would be welcoming you in person, as the Vice Chair mentioned. And we also have Kevin Paulson from OGC here to discuss this matter. And I believe Ms. Amy Rothstein is here, but we're going to proceed. Is there any discussion? Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. We're gonna have a presentation from OGC. Thank you, Mr. Paulson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, commissioners, and welcome to Chair Broussard, Vice Chair Dickerson, and Commissioner Cooksey. We're happy to have you, and we really look forward to working with you. Before you is Agenda Document 21-02-A, which responds to a request from John Mark Bertrand, a U.S. citizen residing in Canada, asking several questions concerning application of the Act and Commission regulations to the proposed purchase of political advertisements on certain media platforms. The draft concludes that the requester may make expenditures, independent expenditures, and disbursements on political advertisements because the Act provides that U.S. citizens are not foreign nationals, no matter where they reside, and does not otherwise distinguish between a U.S. citizen residing in the United States and a U.S. citizen residing abroad. The draft also concludes that neither the Act nor Commission regulations require the requester to provide any media platform with proof of a U.S. bank account, financial instruments drawn on a U.S. bank, or a U.S. residential address as a prerequisite to the purchase of political advertisements on their platforms. The draft further explains that this advisory opinion cannot serve as legal proof that the requester is a U.S. citizen or relieve any entity of its obligations to comply with the Act or Commission regulations. We did not receive any comments on the request. We received one comment on the draft from the requester, which has been circulated to the commissioners and posted to the commission's website. I'd be happy to address any questions that you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson. Is there any discussion or questions for Mr. Bertrand?
Oops, sorry about that. Yeah, no, I mean, I pretty much put everything in the comment. So if that's addressed, that's I think that's the most I can ask at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Bertrand. Is there any commissioner discussion or questions of Mr. Bertrand or OGC? Seeing that there are none, is there a motion in this matter? I have two, but it did. Commissioner Weintraub, would you like to make a motion?
I would, but I'd be prepared to support the draft as is. The vice chair and I have been having a little bit of back and forth about whether there needs to be some tweaking of the language. The point that I think is important to make here, because my sense is that Mr. Bertrand would like us to give him something that he can show to Facebook that says, you're not allowed to ask me for anything other than my passport. We cannot do that. And this letter, this opinion is not going to be the thing that I think you're really seeking. The First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law abridging anyone's freedom of speech. It doesn't say anything about what private companies can do. A person can have a First Amendment right to speak, but that doesn't mean that any platform, any media outlet, any publisher has an obligation to provide a forum for that message. I might write what I think is the great American novel. It doesn't mean that any publisher has to publish it. They might disagree with me that it's the great American novel. Indeed, sometimes people make political contributions, which they are absolutely entitled to do. And for whatever reason, the recipient committee might return it. They don't have to accept it. Even though you have a First Amendment right to make it, they don't have to accept it if they don't want to for any reason whatsoever. So, and of course, the background of these screening procedures that Facebook has adopted are what happened in the 2016 election, where the Russian government was and other Russians who were working with the government were placing ads on Facebook and paying for them in rubles. And Facebook didn't even notice because they had no screening mechanisms in place. And when it was first, when the stories first came out that this was happening, Mark Zuckerberg said, oh, that's crazy. But more and more evidence came out that made it fairly compelling and convincing that that indeed had happened, and Facebook felt that they needed to respond. And indeed, we have regulations that say that they're not allowed to assist anyone in making a prohibited foreign national contribution. We don't have specific rules on how they go about making sure that they are not assisting a foreign national in making a prohibited contribution. They have adopted screening procedures. Those screening procedures may not be perfect. They may not be the only way that Facebook could have gone about doing this, but they are the screening. We don't have any mechanism for telling Facebook, you can't use those screening procedures. We don't require perfection. It's really up to them how they go about trying to comply with the law. And I personally am glad that they have adopted screening procedures. I think it was important for them to do so. So I think this may end up being a somewhat less than satisfactory experience for the requester. But if it makes you feel any better, there are a lot of other fairly prominent people these days who are discovering that just because they want to speak, they don't necessarily get a platform to do that. And private entities do not need to provide that platform to them. So I'll yield to the vice chairman to put in his two cents on how he would like to see the draft amended. I don't think any of us disagree, though, on the basic point that while the law does not specifically require you to provide the information that Facebook is asking for you, neither does it preclude Facebook from asking you for that information. And as I said, we can't tell them they're not allowed to do that. So that's just the way it is. Sorry.
Madam Chair.
Vice Chair Dickerson.
Thank you. I'd like to begin by noting that I would absolutely read Commissioner Weintraub's novel. But quite aside from that, I mean, you're absolutely right, Commissioner Weintraub. We do. I find myself in entire agreement with you, not only on the question of statutory law, but also on a question of First Amendment jurisprudence, which is pleasant. I think the issue again is that, you know, the commission is bound by law, and we have a narrow mission that has been given to us by Congress in a specific act, and that is the four corners of our authority. I think it's possibly a historically missed opportunity that the Congress chose to name this entity the Federal Election Commission. I think at times is misleading in terms of the scope of our authority and discretion. But that was a decision made by the people's elected representatives, and not one that I'm in a position to question, but it does sometimes create additional work, I think, for us. To the draft at hand, the only concern I have is, following up on what Commissioner Weintraub said, the fact that we have not had occasion to review the particular screening procedures undertaken by Facebook. I would be open to opining on those questions and would likely end up in the same position as Commissioner Weintraub in the right context, namely an advisory opinion request by Facebook or by another private media or social media company. I do not, however, think it's appropriate for us to opine on specific screening procedures in this context, where we simply have a request as to what Mr. Bertrand can be required to do under the act. Again, this is not a deep disagreement as to policy. It's a question of the appropriate role of dicta in our advisory opinion process. So I have circulated a revised paragraph, which largely eliminates one of the reasons I wish we were in person is I'd have all this out on physical paper, which would make it easier for me to reference it. But there is a paragraph beginning on page 5 of draft A. The commission has encouraged. In general, I am fine with that draft to the extent that it, as Commissioner Weintraub notes, you know, it notes that the commission has generally approved of screening agreements to allow, or screening procedures rather, to allow entities to meet their legal obligations. My only concern really is the last portion of that paragraph, which bleeds into page 6, where we say these entities may, as part of their screening procedures, require, and then we give specific examples. I just think we're getting over our skis there. It's maybe a minor point, but is a point of jurisdiction and procedure, and as a former practicing litigator, those are things that I care about. So that's my position on that. I'm happy to answer questions or work with Commissioner Weintraub to find appropriate compromise language on that point if she is open to that.
Thank you. Are there any other commissioner questions or discussion?
No, Chair.
Commissioner Walter.
I welcome the atmosphere in which we're discussing these matters. It's a pleasure to see us agree without being disagreeable. And I'm very happy to see a nice warm step in that direction. Either one of the ways we go today is fine with me. I think we need to tread lightly in the area and yet be a little more proactive as we are now beginning to regain our ability to do a number of things we haven't been able to do with the new atmosphere and the way we're communicating. So either one would be satisfactory to me. And I would welcome us and to begin to take a look at maybe a rulemaking or advisory policy so that we can give some guidance without giving them becoming the enforcer. And so I'm stepping away in terms of either one is satisfactory to me.
Thank you, Commissioner Walter. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think I have been encouraged by how collegial all of our discussions have been so far. And on this one, I think it's pretty easy because I think we are actually pretty close to being in agreement. The commissioners have a copy of this paragraph, but the public doesn't, so this will be a little bit confusing. We've been going back and forth up for the benefit of the public up until, moments before the meeting, and indeed during the meeting, we've been emailing each other to try and figure out how exactly we want to tweak the language. And it's usually not the best way of writing an AO to be doing it on the fly in the meeting, but why not? We'll build the plane while we're flying it. My concern is I don't generally have a problem with the way you've recast the paragraph, except perhaps for the last sentence that you wrote. Neither the Act nor Commission regulations, however, require you to provide such proof as a prerequisite to the purchase of online political advertisements, nor has the Commission had occasion to review the particular screening procedures adopted by Facebook. If we could add in something in there that emphasizes the fact that while we're not opining on these particular screening procedures, they are allowed to adopt screening procedures. Again, I don't want to create the misimpression that we're telling Facebook how to do their screening procedures, either what they can or can't require, if you catch my drift.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Cooksey.
Would it be satisfactory to Commissioner Weintraub if we took Vice Chair Dickerson's paragraph as circulated and appended to the end of that final sentence something to the effect of, and we express no views about the screening procedures at issue here, or something more explicit that we are not signaling in one direction or the other any view about those procedures?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I think that is suggested in the way that it's currently worded. I'm trying to go just a smidge further than that. Maybe Neither the Act nor Commission regulations, I take out, however, require you to provide such proof as a prerequisite to the purchase of online political advertisements. Semicolon or period. The commission has not had occasion to review the particular screening procedures adopted by Facebook and expresses no views on them. However, as noted above, they are permitted to adopt screening procedures. As a general matter, they are allowed to adopt screening procedures, something like that. Would that work?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner.
I will, this is originally Vice Chair Dickerson's concern. I will allow him to weigh in from my standpoint, something to that effect. I don't know if we need to, I will defer to my colleagues whether we want to get the exact language down here on the fly or wait until we're all looking at the same text. But from my standpoint, something very close to what Commissioner Weintraub said is
Madam Chair.
Vice Chair Dickerson.
Thank you. First of all, I apologize in advance if technical difficulties on my end pose a challenge to wholesome debate. I think that's just the world we're living in these days. I think, again, that in general, we're in agreement. My reading of this is that the point is already made earlier in the paragraph where we note that screening procedures have generally been approved. We cite to three prior AOs that do so. I don't have any objection to that point, but I do again think it's important to hold the line on opining on particular practices by particular entities that are not in front of us and have not had an opportunity to comment. Well, let me rephrase that are not questions and having the opportunity of an AOR to comment. So I don't know how we do this procedurally. I think Commissioner, before we make law for the agency, we should have the same language in front of us and not do this orally over uncertain and unstable internet connections. Has some obvious prudential merit, but I'll defer to my colleagues on the procedure there.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Well, we have a couple of options available to us procedurally. We could, if we want to do this at the meeting, we could take a short recess and see if we can hammer out some language and email it back and forth and then come back into the public session. Alternatively, I think people generally have the drift of where we're going with this. We could not adopt it at the meeting, but after the meeting, we could hammer out the language and circulate it on a tally and adopt the AO that way. I'm happy to do it either way.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair Dickerson.
I think my inclination would be to do it by tally just to allow us to have a little bit more of a conversation. And I think the public is pretty well apprised of where we stand on this. But again, I'm happy to defer if others feel strongly differently.
I would agree with the tally option. It is proving a little difficult with trying to manage all of the monitors and screens to be able to see everything. And the emails coming in with the information. So maybe it might just be a little bit more efficient and effective so that we can get Mr. Bertrand an answer if we could do this on tally. I see head shaking. It looks like we have some consensus, which is where we're gonna be going this year. So they were gonna hold this one over. Mr. Bertrand, I wanna thank you for appearing today and we hope to get an answer for you very soon, sir.
Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you. Technology is flouting everyone. My screen is blinking and all this kind of stuff. So that's the world we're in. The next agenda item that we have is audit division recommendation memorandum on Mississippi Republican Party. This matter has been held over. It will be appearing on our next open matter agenda. We're going to keep rolling through this. Audit division recommendation memorandum on Van Drew for Congress was resolved on tally. And the next item that we'll have is Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the National Tooling and Machining Association Committee for a Strong Economy. We have Jonathan Fonseca and Erica Lee of the Audit Division. And if you'd like to, you can go ahead and proceed with the presentation for the commission. Thank you.
Morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Before you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum for National Tooling and Machining Association Committee for a Strong Economy, which was submitted to the Commission for consideration on November 13th, 2020. The ADRM provides the audit staff's recommendation for each finding outlined in the draft final audit report. This memorandum presents the Audit Division's recommendations for two findings. Finding one, misstatement of financial activity for increased activity. And finding two, disclosure of contributions made to federal candidate committees. The committee received the draft final audit report on October 22nd, 2020 and had no comments or questions on the two findings. And we are available to answer any questions you may have regarding the recommendation memo or the outlined findings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fonseca. Are there any questions from the commission? None. So is there a motion? Oh, did I see a hand raised? Vice Chair Dickerson, did I interrupt you?
You did not. I was going to offer a motion.
Thank you.
I move the adoption of the Audit Division recommendation in this matter.
Thank you. The motion?
Or move.
Is there any discussion on this motion? Okay, let's call the matter for a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 The matter passes 6-0. Thank you to the Audit Division for this presentation. We had one more matter. The proposed final audit report on the Democratic Foundation of Orange County. This matter was also resolved on tally. So it leaves us to a question that we have, and that is for Mr. Staff Director of the Management or Administrative Matters. Mr. Staff Director, are there any management or administrative matters the commission needs to discuss today?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Oh, there we go. It looks like Alec was having a few technical difficulties.
We see Mr. Palmer, but I'm not sure if he's able to hear us.
Madam Chair, there are no.
Thank you. With that, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.